Welcome to Unapologetically Abundant Podcast. I'm your host, Petya Kolibova, that love coach who helps corporate women who have been pushed down and back due to traumatic relationship or childhood trauma in their past, which has caused them to see themselves not in a bright light that makes them people please and not show up the way they know they are capable of showing up. My mission is to help women who are on the path to heal from their past wounds, move through their limiting beliefs and internal blocks so they can guide other women through online coaching, which is that deep down what they are feeling they really want to do instead of sitting in their corporate job. Each week, I will be offering an interview or an idea that will support you to leave behind what isn't serving you anymore and create a life filled with freedom, abundance, and purpose. No more hiding, no more waiting. The time to take care of yourself, to uplevel your life, is now. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another Unapologetically Abundant podcast episode. Today, guest, it's absolute treat. Not only I've been stalking her, but I also know that my tribe loves her so much because of her holistic approach to life, to health, to relationships. Maria Sosa is from Holistically Grace is absolutely incredible person. And I could list all of her titles, which I will in the show notes because it's pretty impressive. But what I really want to say about her is that her outlook and the way she shares about the life and the steps, how we can holistically approach it, it's not only inspiring, but truly transforming people's lives. So Maria, it's such an honor to have you here, and I'm super excited to dive deep today with you.
Thank you so much for that amazing introduction. I think we need to talk more so you can introduce me everywhere I go.
I can record it for you.
Wonderful. And then anytime I'm feeling low, I'm just going to press play and kind of have that with me. So thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also know that you live in Florida, which is like, I love Florida. It's so beautiful. It's so warm and you know, the beautiful beaches. It's not like here, cold water close by in California. So before we will dive deep into today's session, I want you to imagine that you are on a beautiful sunny day, walking close by the beach, and it's like early morning, so almost nobody is there. You just see the palm trees and the sun rising, and you can feel the fresh air and the calmness of the ocean, and you're feeling so incredible. You're feeling the zest for life, and you're feeling vibrant and radiant, and you can really feel the energy pumping through your body. And as you're walking in this beautiful mood, sipping on your favorite drink, there's a young woman approaching you on this beautiful, you know, park, and she comes to you and she says, "Oh my gosh, you are so radiant. Who are you?" And you, instead of listing all the titles and everything beautiful work you do in this world, what is the one thing you want this woman to know about you?
My goodness, I just closed my eyes and I started imagining myself and putting myself in that beautiful place that you imagined for me. And that was so warm. Thank you for that. I just felt like a little moment of meditation and visualization. So I think if it's just one word, I think I like the word intuition. I think I am intuition. I think that with all the things that I've done in my life, with all the titles that you can talk about later on your show notes, one of the things that I'm very proud of is this idea of listening to myself, listening to my body, and making sure that I'm tuning in to what it needs and what is going on there. So intuition is a word that definitely sticks out for me.
I love that so much, you know, because I truly believe that for so many years, me and the woman that I work with, we just step on that intuition. We don't want to listen because it's, you know, we are like, oh, I should do this, I should do that. And we don't listen to our inner guidance Have you always been so connected to your intuition and always trusted it, that it will guide you to the right places?
Oh, no, not at all. In fact, it was quite the opposite. It was, I don't have the answers and everybody else knows what is best for me. That was from the food that I was eating. So it was a diet knows what's best. A nutritionist knows what's best. The latest way to eat that is on the news and social media knows what's best, what I should do with my life and the things that I should study, because I wound up where I am today by doing things that I didn't want to do. So I worked first in marketing and PR and economics and all that kind of stuff that I really didn't enjoy, because it was a path that was chosen for me. And I said, okay, well, other people know what's best for me, especially at 18. You know, you really don't know what to do with your life and you trust a lot in your parents. And I know that their intentions were the best, but it's definitely not what I would have chosen for myself, you know? Then in terms of relationships and things like that, again, it's, what should I be doing at this moment in my life? Should I be going towards the marriage route? Should I be thinking about having children? Should I prioritize my career over this? And that is all external, you know, all these social constructs of what our life should look like and what it's supposed to feel like. And at no point did I, or many of us, do we stop to say, but what do I want to do? And how do I want to define my life? And how do I want to redefine what success means? How do I want to redefine what health means? And how do I take charge and take control and let my body lead the way in that?
That's so incredible, because I truly believe that we, most of us, we go through that phase. We're doing all of the right things and it just doesn't feel right. And we think that something is wrong with us, because like you said, we look at social media, we look at other people and we compare ourselves with something that we see just externally. And we think, oh, I, by this age, by this time, I should be doing this, I should be having this. And we are not trusting our own inner guidance. So what was some of the defining moments when you said, like, okay, I did all the shoots and I did all the right things and it didn't lead me right? Was there something, or, you know, that was like the turning point for you? Or was it just like a gradual, like, okay, this sucks and I don't want to keep going?
So there's two big things that I feel have highlighted my life. I'm originally from Venezuela. And so right after I graduated from college, where I studied marketing and PR, I moved back to Venezuela for 2 years. And like I said, I was working with marketing and kind of that business route. And I was not enjoying what I was doing at all. I just felt that I was putting my time and building myself and working on climbing the ladder, but I wasn't happy, you know. By all standards, I had all the things that I needed to have to be a quote-unquote adult, and yet I wasn't feeling it. And so that meant taking a risk. That meant saying, I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to study something else and I'm going to figure out what I want to do, because this isn't working. And so I did. So I moved back to the United States and I started my undergrad again. So here I was, you know, feeling quote unquote like an old woman studying again. And I went to school for psychology. And then I said, okay, I definitely want to go this route, but there's not much I can do unless I get a master's. So I got my master's in marriage and family therapy. And that's been life-changing for me. It's been such a reward and such an honor to get to work with individuals, to get to share stories, to get to shape or help, not even shape, because I know that people have their own answers. I'm just there to hold your hand and kind of ask you a few questions that you may not have thought about before. So it's an honor to work with them. That's one thing that was a big, huge change for me. And the other one was through my eating. And it's one of the things that I talk a lot about on my Instagram and my social media. I got to a point in my life where I was obsessed with eating healthy. And that meant that I was restricting a lot of foods for no apparent health reasons. I was not eating the way that I should have been because I was just concerned with the way that I looked. I exercised in a way that I didn't enjoy. I was so concerned with this vision of what health was that I completely shut down my intuition. You know, my digestion was a mess. I wasn't sleeping very well because I would wake up in the middle of the night hungry, literally eating spoonfuls of almond butter so I could fall back asleep. And throughout all that, I kept reinforcing this idea of this is health. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing because this is health. Everybody's complimenting you as well for your weight loss, and everybody's saying, look how amazing and how wonderful you look. And then that became my identity, because then everywhere I went, I would have my little protein packets with me. I would be making green shakes, and no, I can't eat that, and no, I can't eat this. So I had this identity of being a healthy person, and I put myself up on a pedestal for this. And then I would judge people who weren't doing the exact same things that I was doing. But my digestion was what really, really hit me. It made no sense to me that I was eating these quote unquote healthy things. So a lot of greens, a lot of vegetables, everything that we're supposed to be eating. And I had digestive problems. You know, if somebody was looking at me, the first thing they'd say is, you're eating perfectly. What else is going on here? And so luckily, social media, I will always thank social media for this. I started connecting with a friend and she started telling me about intuitive eating, and it was life-changing for me. I started understanding myself and my body in a different way. I kicked diet culture to the curb, and within a month or two, my digestive problems were gone. It was incredible to me that the stress that I was putting on my body to eat healthy, to be this certain person, to never mess up with my eating, was causing so much pain to my body, right? So kind of shifting back and being flexible and allowing my body to do what it needed, that to me is the biggest lesson of trusting that body and trusting that intuition.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for sharing it, because I truly believe that no extreme is ever good for us, because if you go too much of the unhealthy, you can feel it on your body and how you're feeling mentally. And the same is going to the other opposite of, and I've been there, you know, I struggled with eating disorder for 18 years and excessive working out like 7 days a week, sometimes twice a week, and never feeling like, you know, like lean enough and good enough, and looking at others and comparing myself. And it got to the point where I was like obsessed with food and obsessed with what I'm doing. And I'm like, this can be life. This can be it. When you have to think about like, oh, I didn't eat for 2 hours. I should be eating, because if no, my metabolisms will slow down and you're not hungry, or you're always hungry. It's just not right. And I truly believe that it's important to tune into our intuition. And let me ask you, do you have any personal techniques that help you to connect again with your body and your intuition? How can you like tune out the world and start listening to yourself again? How do you know what is your intuition and what is like your ego telling you what you should and shouldn't?
Oh, that's such a good question. And I don't know if I know. You know, I'm much, that's not where I was going with that. I'm most definitely a work in process. I know that when it feels like it's coming from within me. I'm just gonna sound so cheesy because it
please
really
do. I
is.
Love it. All right, go for it, girl.
Because your ego is also, you know, within you, obviously. So how can you tell the difference with that? But I think for me, the ego comes from a place of fear. So if it's sounding fearful, or in the sense of I have to do something to avoid a pain or to avoid being placed in a situation that is going to cause me discomfort, I think that that is often my ego. When I do things to approach, so kind of going in a direction that I may not know the answer, I may not know what's going on, but I'm approaching something. So I'm approaching a reward. I'm approaching something that I believe will be beneficial for me. That's when I think my intuition kicks in. And I like to think about it in terms of breaths. So I love taking breaths throughout the day because we forget to, right? So just right now, even in the way that I'm talking, I'm just, okay, take a breather, you know, be here. Even putting your heart, you know, putting your hand on your heart and kind of making sure that this is a moment, right? Another thing that I really like to do is being in touch with my senses. So at this moment, I could be sitting here and I'm observing and I could start listing the things that I'm observing. So I see you on the screen. I see the computer. I see my legs. I see this. I see that. And that kind of brings it back to this present aware moment. Again, intuitive to me. I like to feel things on my hands. So what's the temperature? What am I feeling? What am I touching? What is this? And I think that that's one of my favorite ways to kind of dig into that present intuition and kind of let that ego sit for a bit or quiet down. Because we need that ego sometimes, you know, it's there for a purpose. It has its place, but sometimes it gets loud and sometimes it gets very critical, and then we need to bring it in and we need to tune in and make sure that we tune into that human that we have, or that little mini me that is within us all.
I can see that mini me. Mm-hmm. So I really want to touch on the, when do you feel that the ego is beneficial for us? When do you think that it's good for us? Because sometimes we demonize it, you know, like mm-hmm. ego, it's so bad. You got to get rid of it, you know, kill it.
Yeah.
But when you believe it's beneficial, what are the things that are the moments that we need the ego?
Well, we have to look at the ego in terms of it's a challenge, right? So it's challenging us. So the ego, I think, is meant to question us. And I think it kind of is there to give us a little insight into our insecurities or the things that we feel fearful about. So instead of this idea of we have to kill it or we have to get rid of it, it's like, okay, well, what is it saying? And what does it, and how does it inform us even further, right? So if my ego is saying you're not good enough, what does that mean to me? What is it saying? Does that mean that I have a few things to work on rather than, you know, shut it down? Because it's going to pop up somewhere else, right? It's going to pop up through a behavior. It's going to pop up through the way we interact with somebody else, the way we relate in a relationship, you know? So I think the ego's of cues, they're little bits of insight into the things that need a bit of healing.
I really love that approach, because it's not looking at ego and trying to think like, oh, I gotta get rid of it. But because like you said, if we try to get rid of the ego, we are really not shedding the light on the root of what is happening. It's like trying to ignore something dark in the corner. You still feel it's there.
Right.
Take the light, you know, shed it there and ask yourself, Why is it still there? Why is it important to me? What is it there to teach me? Mm-hmm. Because when your ego says, well, like you mentioned, like you're not good enough, or you suck at relationships, or you should be this and this way, you can ask yourself, is that really true?
Mm-hmm. Or where did this come from? Where did this idea come from? Mm-hmm. Right? And kind of asking that takes us back and says, well, what were my patterns of relationships looking up? What was I looking at, and how did that become my narrative of what a relationship was? And if I'm not meeting that narrative, then what does that mean? Am I in a relationship? Am I not in a relationship? Am I totally sucking at this, you know? So, but if you tried to shut it down, then you would not have the time for that insight. You wouldn't have the time to look back at your childhood relationships and how they were shaped, or your first relationship and how that shaped you for your future relationships. You know, you kind of have to take it, rather than good or bad, it's just information. So what information is this, you know, bringing about?
Hey, babe, I hope you are having absolutely incredible time listening to this podcast episode. And thank you for your patience as I'm interrupting the flow of this episode. However, I want to share with you something super exciting. I've been listening to your feedback and your DMs, and what I heard from you is that you are missing this sustainable support, not just feeling high vibe in retreats and conferences and listening to the podcast. You want something that it's really sustainable, that it's going to help you to be creating this momentum. You are craving the sisterhood of women who are no drama, no cattiness, but really want you to rise. And the strategies on how to manifest your dreams and goals and truly live in alignment with who you really are and creating the impact. If this hits the home, I created a mastermind for you. This is for women who are really ready to uplevel their life and having the sustainable support in every area of her life. I'm opening the door in February, and I would love to have you there. Check the link in the show notes, and I'm excited to see you there, because girl, you truly deserve to have it all. I love that. And is there any way how we can reframe it? You know, like when, okay, once you see the information, then what do I do with it?
Yeah, I love that. I'm the reframe queen. Seriously. Because every behavior has a purpose. Every behavior has a purpose. So all the things that we do, they're related. And most of it has to do with survival. So a lot of the ways that we have come to be, they're all adaptive, right? So the reason why we may feel uncomfortable in large groups, or the reason why we, I'm trying to think of a specific one that I know. Okay, for example, I have a big trauma with money, right? It's one of the things that I feel is deeply ingrained in me. So kind of this idea about money, and my story about money is that there's never enough money, or money is not abundant, or money is XYZ, whatever, fill it in there, right? So where did that idea come from? That comes from my childhood, most definitely. And growing up, that was one of the things that was scarce. So we talked a lot about money. There was always this idea of, we're making it just to ends meet. We are struggling. We are doing this. We are doing that. And so that became kind of like my narrative of things, that's kind of what it was. And so as an adult, what happened? Well, then now I become this person that likes to save a lot, or I'm this person that likes to make sure that money is always in a stable place, right? Whenever I'm in a place financially where things are uncomfortable, that's when I start freaking out. That's when anxiety starts to build up. That's when, you know, I feel off center. So then I regress to that and I say, okay, why is this? Why am I feeling all this anxiety? What is going on? Oh, adaptively, this was stressful, so I had to behave this way. And when it's not this way, when I don't feel safe, now I'm triggered, right? So kind of just thinking of behaviors as a survival or adaptive mechanism rather than I've done something wrong or the way that I'm doing things is wrong. It's the way that I'm doing things has helped me survive and has gotten me to where I am today.
I love that. I love when we look at it this way, instead of looking at it, what's wrong with me? Because sometimes we know, like, oh, I know there is enough money. Oh, I know I don't have to save up every penny. I get to give myself, you know, the freedom to circulate money because I know I will create more of it and more of it will come. Like in your mind, you know. But it's so ingrained in you emotionally for so many years that that was not the truth, that was not your reality, that it still keeps coming up. And that's the one thing that I say, it's not about what do you know, but what do you do about what do you know? What do you do about it? That's very important.
And then I think that reframing it in that way takes away the shame and the guilt that we've been taught we're supposed to feel about those behaviors that are deemed socially undesirable, right? Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you think about emotional eating, it's one of the things that is very much looked down upon by our culture. So if you're an emotional eater, you know, and the reality is it served a purpose, right? So maybe you ate the way that you eat because you didn't feel secure at home. And maybe it was the only thing that you had to comfort and soothe you. And what would have happened if you didn't have that comfort? What would have happened if you didn't have those soothing mechanisms? Who knows, right? But there's a whole lot of guilt and a whole lot of shame attached to that. So then when we shift that and we say, I'm surviving and it helped me to survive, it's very different than when you attach the shame and the guilt that is so easy for us to do.
Oh yeah, it's so much easier to let the inner critic out versus bring in the, you know, our cheerleader and say like, hey, it's good. It helped you to get up until where you are. So I love that, you know, asking where is this coming from and then really think about that behavior as a survivor more than being thankful, like, hey, this helped me to get where I am today. Mm-hmm. Do you then replace the old thoughts and behavior with something different? Like, do you use affirmations or do you just acknowledge it just so you remove that guilt and shame?
Yeah, I think acknowledgement is always a first. So kind of being aware of that. I do like affirmations. I know that sometimes affirmations can seem a little cheesy and people are turned off by it. So I like to make sure that they are realistic to you, right? So if it doesn't make sense to you for you to say, I love my body and my body is great, don't say that. You know, don't say something that feels inauthentic to you. But if you can say, I'm grateful for my body today because it allowed me to have this conversation with this new person that I'm connecting with, right? So that's a very different thing to say, and that seems authentic to me, and that seems like something that I could be thankful for if I'm not really loving on my body today. So yes, affirmations that are realistic, and then also knowing that any of the things that have happened to us have shaped us, but that we can choose to change how they continue forward. So we can choose to rewire, we can choose to change behaviors that are no longer serving us. So it's a bit of a two-step process of being aware, understanding, seeing it as a survival mechanism, viewing it with kindness, viewing it with compassion, and then saying, okay, what do I want to do about it? And that is your decision, right? I'm not here to say you have to change. If that's something that is where you would like to go, that is on you. That is your life, and that is what you'd like to decide to do. Great. I'm here for it either way, whatever you'd like to do.
That's amazing. That's really great, you know, to have that process, you know, to really looking at the situation as it was good for us instead of judgment and guilt, and then give it compassion and then, okay, now that I know, what do I want to do moving forward? So you're not in the same cycle, really.
Yeah.
And so let me ask you, what are some of your daily rituals that are really non-negotiable? And it doesn't matter if you're in beautiful Florida walking on a beach, you know, like soaking in the sun, or if you're traveling to conference, like what is something that you get to do every day to stay in tune, connected with yourself and to your intuition?
Yes. So every morning after I wake up, I meditate for 20 minutes. That's something that came about from a really tough time in my life. And I turned to meditation to sort myself out. I was going through a really bad breakup. And I thought, this is the end of the world, essentially, right? And I started looking for tools, and I had always heard about meditation. I had always thought that sounds so interesting. I don't know where to go. And so I went and started TM, so Transcendental Meditation. And it was life-changing for me. It kind of provided a little safe space for me, for my mind, for all the things that were going on. And it was just right after I woke up, 20 minutes in the morning, and having that time for myself. That's something that I always do regardless of where I am. Recently, it's gotten a little bit muddy. I've noticed that it's been harder for me with my business and kind of thinking about the things that I'm doing, what I want to do for the rest of the day. So it's been a little tougher for me recently, but I still do it every morning, and I still continue and take that practice for whatever it is and however it comes without that judgment. But I have seen it shift a bit. Definitely once it started, it was much more pure in heart. And now I'm like, I think I need a little break from a lot of things that are clouding my mind. So that's one thing, meditation. And then right after that, I always have a glass of hot water with lemon or a tea or something that is warm. I really like having something warm in the morning. I'm not much of a coffee person, but I'm an avid tea lover. And that is, again, another moment for myself. Very comforting, very homey for me. So wherever I am, that brings me back to my center. If I get the chance, not always depending on whether I'm traveling or not, but movement is really important for me. I have recently started stretching as a way of moving, because I never saw it as movement. And I always thought it was such a waste of time, because if I wasn't sweating and if I wasn't, you know, doing cardio or a HIIT, then screw that, you know, like stretching sucks. Yep. And so once you shift that relationship with exercise and movement, then you're like, oh, I'm going to move because it feels good for my body. And I'm going to make sure that I'm taking advantage of this movement in the moment. So I think that those are my three things that, oh, and recently I've started journaling in the mornings.
Yay.
That's something that I have just recently started, but it's very specific because it's not free journaling. That kind of gives me anxiety. So kind of sitting and just writing 4 hours at a time, you know, that not hours, who journals for hours, but you know, you sit there and you're supposed to do a certain amount of time. Now, I really like guided prompts. So if it says, how am I stepping into my light today? Or how can I let go of the things that are weighing me down? So they're like specific questions that I really like to think about and answer with intention rather than just letting my mind flow. But that's how I work. You know, I think everybody has different ways to journal in different ways, but it wasn't until this recent journaling way, you know, is that now I affirm journal, that I was able to get into it. So yeah, you got to do what works for you.
Absolutely. I love that. And I love how aware you are, what works for you and what doesn't. And I saw it in my one-on-one coaching clients too, that the reflective questions really guide them to their truth instead of say like, oh, journal about this or that, like giving them some reflecting questions, like, how can I show up and serve today? How can I show up as my highest self? How can I give myself space? How can I have more fun? How can I be more creative? what is my intention for today? How do I want to feel? Like really having these things instead of like pre journaling, going like crazy and like, okay, where am I? I'm losing myself. So I really, really love those. Those are amazing. And I truly believe that when we, like my morning routine, it's non-negotiable, because I truly believe that when we can create a space for ourselves, whether it's 5 minutes or 1 hour or 2 hours, whatever you have, it's better than zero. Always better than zero. It's like some workout or some movement and some stretching is better than nothing. So I really, really love your morning routine. And I wonder, Maria, what are some of your last thoughts for our listeners who are still finding their ways into connect to their intuition and, you know, still on that journey? What is something that you would love to share with them? What are your last thoughts?
Great question. So I guess this idea of knowing that the answers are within you, or that you already have them. You may not know how to access it yet, or you may not know how to get in there, but you do. And sometimes you need a little guidance. Sometimes you do need a bit of help to kind of get there, because we've been told for so long that we don't have the answers, that we're supposed to trust an expert external to us to tell us what to eat, how to exercise, and what career path to go along. So it kind of takes a lot of unlearning to do. But I truly believe that if we have the time and we have the space to be able to sit with ourselves and really get honest, you know, we don't do it very often because it's scary, to be honest. Sometimes, you know, and it feels uncomfortable. It really does, because then it means also looking at things about ourselves that we don't always like, right? And so that is where it's at, being in that discomfort, knowing that you have the answers, even if it doesn't feel that way just yet, continuing to go forward with the journey and seeing where it takes us. Again, very broad. I'm feeling very like floaty right now.
I love it, because you're creating space for people to find their own answers. You know, this is like, how am I feeling? This is where my yeah. has been. And I don't feel it's broad. I really feel that it's very intentional. You know, this is me. This is what worked for me. And now you get the inspired, you know, the creation, you go for it, which is really beautiful. So thank you so much, Maria. And I will tell everybody to really stalk your Instagram, because it's like save. I'm saving everything. I'm sharing everything. Your quotes, your savables, it's absolutely incredible. And it's really go-to when we are feeling overwhelmed or burnout, or when we are feeling like, I don't know what to do with myself. Your feed and your expertise and your work, it's absolutely incredible. So thank you so much for everything you're creating in this world. We need you.
Thank you so much. That's my ego right now, like blowing up.
Listen, we just decided that ego, it's a good thing sometimes.
Now yes.
It's like, hey, I matter. What I do matters. You say thank you. You embrace it. You let the ego bloom. It's, you know, there's a good time for it. You deserve
thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And thank you for such an amazing conversation. I'm honestly still on that beach that you described at the beginning. I think maybe that was like the tone of everything. And if my answers were a bit kind of like, oh, a little flowy, I'm still on the beach, guys. I'm still
Please,
on the beach.
Stay there. If you can do me a favor, right after we hang up, give yourself those 5 minutes just for you to disconnect, close your eyes, see the beach, see the birds, like, you know, flying there. It's empty and like white sand beach, walking there, feeling good, hair down, like enjoy it. They truly deserve it. And I truly believe that when we can give ourselves that space and visualize feeling good, we start to bring in everything we are creating.
I'm with you. I love that. And I will definitely take my 5 minutes.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a beautiful day. I appreciate you. And
thank you. Same to you.
Continue to seeing your journey. Bye, Maria.
Bye.